Title of today's word is Healed or Whole. We have a tension within us. The Holy Spirit is working to reveal God's divine design, which is heaven and the realm of heaven being imposed on this earth, and really our human experience being recreated by heaven invading our earth. We are created in God's image. And for what that means is we're meant to experience this life on God's terms and in His Spirit. It means a new heart and a new mind. That is being resisted and fought by our own natural striving and religious striving to try to create God into our image, to try to impose this natural realm on heaven and somehow put God in a box where He does what we want Him to do. You have those forces fighting one another. Do I need to tell you which force is going to win out? I think we know the ultimate, how this plays out. But more and more, it's important that we yield to the pull and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and allow this realm of heaven and God's realm to invade and change our human experience. Turn with me to John chapter 5. And the way this happens is not by religion. It doesn't happen by self-effort. It doesn't happen because we go to church every week or we read our Bibles, as good as those things may be. It happens because we experience the presence of God and we allow our relationship with Him and our Lord to grow. In John chapter 5, it's a story about a pool in Bethesda. And we're going to read different verses, but the setting for this is there was this pool. It says it had five porticos or five porches. And this pool, every once in a while, an angel would come and stir the waters. And when that happened, you had all these people with infirmities around the pool. First one in got healed. Okay? This to me is a real picture of church life in a lot of ways. People can go to church for two different reasons, I think. One is what I would call out of ritual. There's the belief that God wants me to be in a certain place each week or be a part of a certain church, and I go, and because I'm obedient to go, God is happy with that. It doesn't matter if it's a good service or bad service. That's not a part of that mindset. The mindset is I'm fulfilling my obligation to God. Another way of looking at it is where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in their midst. Church is not just a ritual, but it's a place where God's Spirit is. So people come knowing that they can be healed and delivered and be touched by God. Now what happens with that is it becomes very much a thing of being need-based. People come because they want to receive. They need to receive. They need to be healed. They have problems that need to be answered. We're all in this category. So here you have this pool that gets stirred once in a while, and everybody's hovering around the pool hoping to get in first to get that divine touch. Describes to me a little bit revival, doesn't it? Throughout the years, you see revivals happening. The waters are stirred. Signs and wonders take place, and then it's quiet for a while. Well, the thing we need to realize with revival, it's not what is revival, but who is revival. Whenever God stirs the waters and there's signs and wonders and we go, wow, look at what God's doing. There's healings, there's miracles. Great. That's all there to lead us into a greater relationship with the Father. But if it doesn't lead into relationship, I think the fire goes out at some point. So I know there's a lot of concern right now, and I totally believe this. Leaders are saying we need to keep the fire going. And I think really one of the main ways we can keep the fire going is let's continue on to where the fire is pointing. Amen. Intimacy with the Father. Now, we have here a certain man that was, in verse 5, had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him there, verse 6, and knew that he'd already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Okay, here comes Jesus. He asks this person a question. Do you want to be well? This person doesn't hear the question. This person is conditioned by his illness. His mindset is such that all he does is tell Jesus why he hasn't been healed. Do you want to be well? Well, listen, the problem with me, well, the reason I'm not well is every time the waters are stirred, nobody helps me into the water. He's got that victim mentality. And the problem with our religious nature is we want God to meet us, but we don't realize the mindset that can develop with us. We feel sorry for ourselves. We rationalize. We have excuses. Well, the reason I'm not changing, the reason I'm not growing, the reason this is not happening is because, and fill in the blanks whichever way you want. That's not what God is asking. He's asking, do you want to be well? So here he's meeting a man that has been lame for 38 years, has been conditioned by his illness, who identifies himself by that illness. And Jesus comes along and says, I want to change all this for you. We've got to understand there's a difference between coming to church to have our needs met and encountering the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus does meet our needs, but when we encounter him, it opens up a whole other world. Now, if we go on with this, Jesus said to him in verse 8, arise, pick up your bed and walk. Isn't that the problem this guy is having? He can't arise. Otherwise, he'd get into the water. Jesus looks at him, and this guy, I'm sure, is thinking, finally, someone's responding to me. Jesus, he doesn't know who he is. This man is going to help me into the pool. Jesus tells him to do what is impossible for him. Arise, pick up your bed, and walk. Now, immediately the man became well, took up his bed, and began to walk. It's interesting the way God moves. The conditioning is, Jesus is here. Here's how the church world works. He's going to help me get well. Yet Jesus breaks all the rules. He doesn't help him into the pool. Isn't the pool there for healing? Jesus doesn't use the pool. He speaks a word that seems impossible to this person. Yet something in that man responded to that word. And he did the impossible. Now, I want to present something to you. We are all very conditioned patterns of thought that have come right out of this Bible. Not necessarily revelation, conditioning by religion, by how we've experienced church, and we have it in our mind, here's how God is going to move, this is how he's going to do things. But when we encounter the Lord, we better be prepared for something different. Amen. How do we prepare ourselves? Hear what Jesus says as our shepherd and do it. Yes. It's not following some formula that you may have read in some book, or having certain expectations, and a lot of believers fall into this trap. They have certain expectations. God has got to do things this way. God is going to do things the way he does things. He doesn't obey our thoughts. He gives us the option of our minds being renewed to his ways. So, when the Lord is going to move, all he can say is when he says, arise, pick up your bed and walk, that word has power. That word has the healing you need. Now, at this point, this man is healed, but he's not whole. And you go on, you read on with this story. Unfortunately, this happened on the Sabbath day, and we all know that you're not supposed to heal the sick on the Sabbath or pick up your bed and walk on the Sabbath. And so the Jews were upset with them, and they're saying it's not permissible for you to do this. And this man doesn't even know who healed him. And in verse 12, he says, who told you this? It says in verse 13, he was healed, did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away after he touched him. Afterward, Jesus found them in the temple. When the Lord touches us, when the Lord heals, when the Lord meets needs, it's an introduction. That's what it's meant to be. It's God's way. That's why we need to see signs and wonders. We need to see miracles because it displays God's goodness.
Amen.
It opens people up. At this point, the man doesn't know what has happened. All he knows is he's well. And when Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be well?" You got to understand what that question meant. This man for 38 years had defined himself as an invalid. That was his identity.
Right.
Now who is he when he's no longer an invalid? Does he go to the pool anymore? Well, no. Probably all his friends are there. That's the way that he was conditioned. That's what life was, going down to that pool. There's no need. Because of that touch of the Spirit, his whole life has changed. He has a new sense of responsibility. He's got to find a whole new way to live. He's got to discover a whole new identity now because of what the Lord has done. So it says Jesus found him in the temple. I like that. This man did not know who Jesus was. All he knew that he'd been healed. Jesus seeks him out. To be healed, all you need is a touch of the Spirit. To be whole, you've got to let the Lord find you. I thought we're supposed to seek God. Yeah, keep seeking, but realize he's looking for you a lot harder than you're looking for him.
Yes.
Okay, when Jesus finds him, verse 14, he said to him, "Behold, you've become well." He's affirming what took place. "Do not sin anymore so that no worse thing may befall you." And the man went away. This seems kind of a harsh verse in some ways, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But what was happening was Jesus was speaking a word into his life. I don't know what issues this man had. But Jesus is saying, with a smile on his face, "You're well, aren't you?" I'm sure the guy was smiling back. Now, he's speaking a word into his life. Don't sin anymore. He's speaking something directional into him. He's imparting something to him. We can be healed without the word really touching our heart. But to be whole, we have to hear and let the Lord speak into our life what he wants to speak. This may have been a hard thing to hear, but this man needed to hear that word so that he could walk in a new way. Wholeness is not about not making mistakes or being perfect. Wholeness is when you have that touch of healing, allowing the Lord to speak into your life where you become transparent. Wholeness is about the Spirit becoming a part of you in such a way that you're not afraid to be honest. I think that's neglected too often in church. People are given a standard. Here's how Jesus lived. Here's how he acted. We've got to be the same way. Of course, nobody can be that way. And so we open the door for all types of condemnation. To be whole is to give the Word of God its proper place in your life. And let the light of the word expose your inner parts. Truth in the inner parts. Revelation 22:1 talks about a river coming out of the throne. How does the river described? Clear as crystal. You see, that water of life, the word of God, is clear. Transparent. We become whole when we stop trying to hide from the presence of God. We stop trying to hide from ourselves or one another. When that honesty takes hold and we're able to be honest with ourselves and before God, that's the wholeness that he's releasing to our lives. That's destiny that's coming forth. You can be healed and not find destiny. But when the Lord speaks that word to your heart and you find yourself becoming whole, that's the destiny, spiritual destiny, taking hold in your life. That results from his presence in our lives. A lot of people don't want that. With religious spirit, there's a lot of hypocrisy. A lot of people want to remain religious so they can hide, so they can wear their fig leaves. And whenever we hide from God's presence, we are doomed and imprisoned by shame and condemnation. That's going to be our life. When we're willing to step out of that and live in his presence and be open and honest and transparent, that's the light that dispels condemnation and shame. That's where we can discover his peace and his joy. Now notice for this man that the healing led to a confrontation with the Pharisees. And it's really interesting to me that in our destiny, at some point, your destiny is going to clash with your religion. Okay? And if you're becoming whole and you're having that interaction by the Spirit with the Lord Jesus, there's going to be a confrontation with the religious spirit. We can't avoid that. The Pharisees are upset. They're saying, you're not allowed to carry your bed. It's a Sabbath day. Jesus' response to them is, let's see. My Father is working until now, verse 17, and I myself am working. He's looking at the Pharisees and saying, my Father is who did this. My Father is working. This man's healing, this man picking up his bed and walking, is because my Father touched him. Therefore, that's what I am doing. I'm doing it in a like manner. The Pharisees were so bound up with their rules of what should or should not happen that they didn't realize they were fighting God, who created the rules in the first place. And at some point in our destiny, as we're on this road to wholeness, there is that clash, there is that tension between following what the Father is doing by the Spirit and letting that kind of upset our apple cart, our little pet doctrines, our thinking, our rules, our ways. We have it all wrapped up like the Pharisees. And we've got to be willing and open to let all that go. Jesus went on to say, verse 19, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For what he sees the Father do, these things the Son does in like manner. This is what destiny is all about. It's not just about the touch from the Lord. It's about having the same relationship with the Father that Jesus had. What is your destiny? Are you supposed to be a prophet, an apostle, evangelist, pastor, teacher? I don't know. You probably have a piece of paper somewhere at home that describes that aspect. Destiny is not just about what you do. It's not just about those prophecies that you've rehearsed and understand. Those things are good. Destiny is also about the mystery of God that's beyond our thinking. Destiny is about the process of faith, like Abraham, where we step out into this path of wholeness and our minds are no longer in control, but we have to trust God with our life. Destiny is about following the Father the way Jesus did, saying, I can do nothing of myself, he said here. Recognizing that our independent self cannot serve God and depending on God for our life. Unfolding into that revelation of just simply doing what the Father wants us to do. That's all about destiny. And when you're following your destiny, at some point you're going to have to leave the pool. Right? We all have our pool. We all have our comfort zone. We all have our place where the waters get stirred and I sense the presence of the Lord. But when you have that interaction with Jesus, you follow the Lamb wherever he goes. I've often thought about Jesus coming back into our church system, what he would think of all this. I don't mean just right here, just the whole thing. Would he hang out and stay every Sunday? Would he be coming every Sunday? Would he pass through and be off doing what the Father wanted him doing? Yet in our mind, we're stuck, aren't we? Stuck with certain rituals, certain ways of thinking. I'm not saying don't go to church. I'm saying break into the awareness that wholeness brings, that you can follow the Lamb. I want to close with this in Isaiah 6. Isaiah had a meeting with the Lord, didn't he? Describes the presence of God and how strong it was. And he said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. Here he experiences the presence of God. He is a prophet of God at this point. He has been ministering. The last thing that a prophet of God wants to see about himself and admit openly is that he is a man of unclean lips. That's God's mouthpiece. And it says a coal was brought to his lips. He was purified and said, "You're forgiven." A call went out saying, "Who's going to speak the word?" And immediately he says, "I'm the man, send me." You see, this is what an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ is all about. This is what wholeness is all about. Your heart's exposed. Woe is me. That's part of it. We have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be willing to look at our needs. Is there condemnation? Not when God is leading it. Not when you're in his presence. Because when you see your need and you admit to it, there's that coal that comes that purifies. And you recognize that you're forgiven. And out of that, at the same time, from one moment to say, "I'm a man of unclean lips," comes a statement, "Father, whatever you want me to do, I'm your man." Amen. Absolute faith to follow. These are the encounters we need with our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't settle for a touch of the waters to bring a healing to a certain problem. Don't let church just be a place where if I come enough times, maybe I can kind of rise above the problems of my life. It's not, we're not here simply to make our circumstances easier. We all want blessing and healing. But let's recognize when the Lord is passing by. Let's not be so addicted to hanging out at the pool that we miss that encounter with the Lord where he can bring us into true wholeness. And the path to wholeness, the religious side that we all have, has got to be dropped off. There's no way we can carry it on with us. We have to be willing to look at it, let it be exposed, and let it go. What's the result of one that is finding their destiny? It's just the same thing that Jesus said. When destiny really is taking hold of your heart and you're getting intimate with the Father, you look at yourself and go, "I can do nothing out of my own independent self." That's the end of religion right there. But Father, in wholeness, I can see what you're doing and I can follow in like manner by the Spirit you've put within me. Amen. Father, bless the word to our hearts. Give us all a deeper sense of destiny this morning, Lord. We all want to be healed, but Lord, we add to that, there's a greater cry to be whole. Amen.